grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our
Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We reflect, as we are during this year, on texts from the Gospel of Mark. Talita Kumi, little girl, arise. And it happened. I've shared with a few of you that Kathy and I are going on a little vacation this summer, and we're going to Rome for a couple of weeks. I'm going with some fear and trepidation because the thing I have heard most about Rome, and they even give you the name for it in all the books, is the word pickpocket. I see Roxanne shaking her head. Did anybody in your group lose anything? We saw them around, yeah. Crowds that include people who want my money, my passport. We've stayed away from Rome for a long time because in the early 1970s, when Kathy's sister Nancy was in Rome, somebody took her purse right off her lap at a street sign in the car, right at a light. So I don't want to do that. So I want to go see the things. But there are crowds, and everybody's watch out for the crowds. Same thing happened with Jesus. Watch out for the crowds. Jairus comes and says, "My daughter is sick," and the crowd is going along. Most of us have been in crowds. I don't particularly like going around where there are crowds. But in the good old days, way back, long time ago, you could be in the crowd at the Metrodome and get blown out as everybody got blown out as the doors opened up. We've all been in places, whether it's parades or whatever, or concerts or something, where there are crowds. Can you imagine what it would be like if someone walking out would say, "Don't touch me, you touched me"? We all bounce into people. Not on purpose, it's just what happens, and we don't think that much of it. And so, this little girl is sick, and a whole crowd comes to try and find out what's going on with this. And there's jostling and everything going around, and the disciples are getting used to the fact that there are a lot of people around by Jesus. That's why he was so tired last week after spending the whole day talking about the kingdom coming and people asking him for help and sharing their stories with him. And so here's Jesus now going in the crowd. "Who touched me?" Kind of a funny scene. "Come on," the disciples say. They kind of have to give Jesus a little lesson. "Come on. People are all around you." But the woman, she knows something has happened. A woman in the crowd gets up close to him and just touches him. And he knows something happens. This is not where you go ahead and if your faith is good enough, then I'll heal you. At this point, Jesus doesn't know her. She knows of Jesus, but she's behind him. Why do people get sick? Our answer from the scriptures is it's part of our broken relationship with God. Every one of us gets sick one way or another. Whether it is something long-term or something that comes and goes, we've all got things that bother us. And the traditional answer that was true in Jesus' day and is still true for many people today is to say, "Well, what did you do wrong that God's punishing you with this or with that?" Jesus, in another story, would say that you can't draw a straight line between something that happens and the response, because God lifts the burdens of sin. Even in Lamentations, our first reading, it said God doesn't make bad things happen for us, but the consequences of our brokenness, they are there. This is the only miracle story interrupted by another miracle story. On the way to Jairus' daughter, another miracle takes place. And there are those who blame this woman for the fact that the daughter died. Well, Jesus got delayed, you know, called 911 and was 2 minutes too late. Otherwise, it would have worked. So some people even blame this woman that the little girl died. Laid that on her conscience as well. She, sick for 12 years. The little one, alive for 12 years. This big throng versus what also you see in the guidebooks, the little corners, the places where hardly anyone goes. Not the big places like the Sistine Chapel, but the little corner places of interest. And so Jesus is both in the big throng, and he's where there's almost no one else even around. Why was she sick, the woman? Why was she sick, the little girl? Jesus would not even go there. He is not going to say, here's why it happens. And yet, that's what Satan tries to do to us, to try to get us to wonder, why is this happening to me? Simply put, what did I do wrong? What's catching up with me from my past life? And we may live most days and simply go from day to day, but sometimes when something happens, we begin to comb our mind. What have I done wrong? Is this a result of that? It can be in the realm of things that not a single other person on this earth maybe even knows. It may be things that are happening in our hearts, in our minds, that no one else even knows about, but that we feel guilt about, or things that we have said, or things that we have done. Things that we are told we are forgiven for, and yet they keep coming back to haunt us. Does God really forgive even that? A lady said to me once, God only forgives us for the sins we do in weakness. The things that we do willfully, we can never be forgiven for. Whether she heard my answer and was calmed by it, I'll never know. We're forgiven for everything. It is finished means it is finished. God is not in the business of sending arrows to hurt us, to shape us up. The love of Christ moves us to act. So this woman, drawn toward God, not away from him, touches him. And he immediately knows something has happened. This is not just a random bump. Something went forth from him. And he knew it. Because you see, that's why he came. He came to fix what's broken. He came to fix everything that's broken, to take away everything that's wrong, so that in God's presence we are seen as perfect and holy and without sin, clothed in the love of Christ. We get these few examples in Mark of miracles that heal someone temporarily. Obviously, that woman and that little girl died sometime later. And in the earliest church, they didn't have names for all of them. Later, people will come up with names for a lot of the characters in the Bible, but not at this point. They went on and lived their life, and often those who are brought back to life from the dead in the Bible are the young, who get to live out the rest of their earthly life before they are summoned into the presence of their eternity. But first of all, this woman comes, and she is healed. Your faith has made you well. That can trick us. We can say, if I just had enough faith, then I could get rid of everything that's wrong. And Satan can't wait to play that game with us. Well, the reason that you're not healed is because you don't have a strong enough faith. Faith doesn't come in strong or weak. Faith is a relationship with God where the Spirit of God comes into us with the benefits of Jesus dying and rising and cures us of eternal death and restores us to peace with the Almighty God. So the Father is now our Father, as we've been talking about in Bible class with the Lord's Prayer. It is the one we can come to without fear. The one, as this woman came to Jesus, because that's where the help is. We are not the doctors. We don't get to write the prescription to God and say, if you really love me, do this or else. We are the patients. We are the ones who come to say, this week again, we need healing. We need healing of our resistance and rebellion against you. We need healing of our brokenness and what we have done against the way you made us to be. Those things done, those things undone. The things that Satan wants to use and wrap around us and keep front and center so that we cannot know that we really are saved and redeemed. And it's a good thing to say to God, deliver me from my sins. Deliver me from what is wrong in me. How I am at odds with you and the world and myself. And I need healing. And so first of all, she goes forth. And then Jesus throws the whole complaining and moaning and lamenting crowd out. She's not dead, but sleeping. And Paul will talk about this as well. There are those who have fallen asleep. I've stood with many of you at gravesides, and we have cried, and we have confessed our faith, and we have said that the Lord promises that he will raise those whom we have laid in the ground, and they will come back alive again. Our old sinful nature may laugh like those who are mourning. Oh, come on. The world is going to say, when you're dead, you're dead. And that's it. But by faith, we come to say that God has healed us of our brokenness from him, healed us and given us our eternal life back by grace, undeservedly so, and that our life is to thank and praise him and to love people enough to say to them, this is what I believe is reality. This is where I rejoice in the midst of this broken world that I live in. Talita kumi. Well, we know when we're beat. And they would have thought Jesus was at the end of his game too. Little girl, get up. And let's not say, well, she was probably just in a coma. She was dead. Her life had gone out of her. And the one who gives life put it back in. A little hint to us. Whether we die at age 3 or 30 or 110, that our life was meant to be lived forever, and we will come back alive again. Our faith, the faith that that woman had that God could heal, is the same faith that is in us. We are not hopeful that it might happen. We are moved and guided by that. Our new life is at work. We're living out our eternity. Our death, well, that happened when we were baptized, when our brokenness from God was cured. So we're already dead to sin. We're alive to God in Christ Jesus. Will he magically heal every broken bone? Will he magically take away every hurt and ache, every infection? He doesn't seem to do it that way for us, but he says, I can help you live with it. We may say that's not enough, but he says, I'll be with you even if you don't think it's enough, and I'll give you the strength to live each day, to praise and honor me, to rejoice that you are saved and redeemed, to get rid of the thinking that somehow I'm trying to change you by hurting you, and I will let you live in a world where it may not be through the touch of a hand, but through the word that comes from your mouth to others, that they will be healed as well, the kind of healing that will last forever. God has been gracious and has given people who understand how the body works, who can do surgeries, who can administer medicines and drugs, who can give care, who can be along with us. He's given us bodies that will gradually heal from cuts and bruises. And yet, he says, there is way more than that. Be at peace. You are healed forever and ever. And thus, there will be the day when we will hear that word, kum, or kumi. Get up. Come and enjoy eternity. And then he will invite us to the banquet and give us something to eat. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.